This is What Does It Profit? And I'm your host, Dr. Dawn Carpenter. Each week in this podcast, I'll talk to some of the leading thinkers and researchers, entrepreneurs and executives about things like conscious capitalism, sustainability, and business ethics, things that feel all the more urgent as we as a planet face enormous challenges, climate change, pandemics, demands for social reform. Many of these challenges brought about, some would argue, by capitalism. Each episode, each guest, will bring me a little closer to finding out what does it profit. Take a listen. Sound familiar? Close your eyes. Marlon Brando. Al Pacino. No. This is not the family business we're discussing today. Take a listen to this. The bells of Ravello, Italy. Today, I'm rewinding the clock to the days before COVID, to a better time. In today's episode, you're going to join me on a trip I took to the Amalfi Coast of Italy, just south of Naples and Positano, and a little north of Salerno. There's a village called Ravello. I like to think of today's episode as kind of a Christmas gift. However humble it may be without the breathtaking sights and the sumptuous smells you miss as podcast listeners. But despite these limitations, I'm going to introduce you to one of the most inspiring culinary entrepreneurs in all of Italy, Chiara Lima.
It means we've done something, we shared something, we passed something. This is my mission.
Today we're going to be talking about family, food, and love. Three of the most important ingredients to Chiara's business. Chiara, welcome to What Does It Profit?
Hello, well, I'm Chiara and I live here on the Amalfi Coast. I'm extremely honored to be here with you and to talk about my family history and my family cooking school on the Amalfi Coast. I hope really one day you will be able to experience and to see what Dawn is just explaining today, the beauty of the Amalfi Coast.
Chiara, tell our listeners about your family. Today we're talking about the family business. We experience family businesses in every part of the world, but tell us about yours here in Ravello.
Well, my mother cooked since she was just 8 years old. And we live in this house overlooking the sea for the last 2.5 centuries. So I'm the fourth generation. And since my mother was very young, she started to cook first for a very famous and rich American woman. And at their age, from 8 to 21, she cooked for majority stars of Hollywood in her private villa, for Jacqueline Kennedy, for Fred Astaire, Frank Sinatra. Then she married, she had our two kids, me and my sister. And for many years, she actually just took care of us. When I was about 18, I left the family and I came back about 8 years after and we started Mamagara Cooking School. Actually, I started Mamagara Cooking School for a simple reason. While I was traveling for so many years, I wasn't able to help them financially. And when I came back, my parents were really, were broke. I mean, they're really on a social money. So I said, okay, let me get a job. And I got a job as a sales and marketing and in a famous hotel, a 5-star hotel in Ravello. And then I thought, you know, it was not enough. I couldn't help them enough to fix the garden because we have a big house with a lot of garden and the wall were all down, the vegetables, everything was a mess. So I said, okay, what can we do? And one night I had an idea. In Mamagara cookbook that I wrote a few years ago, there is a chapter dedicated to my guardian angel, which I believe is my grandmother. And one night I was thinking, okay, what do I do? What do I do? And I thought, gosh, but my mom cooked for Fred Astaire, Frank Sinatra, Jacqueline Kennedy, Liz Taylor. I mean, mention a star of Hollywood and she cooked for them. They loved her food. I thought, okay, let's do a family business. Let's use her talent, her happy hands, to create and to teach people traditional Mediterranean cooking school. People thought I was crazy because at the beginning, about 20 years ago, when we started, everybody was about fine dining. And I thought, but we were not French. You know, we are Italian. We don't use butter. We use olive oil. And we don't use mushroom. We use cherry tomatoes. And I went on. The hotel where I was working and most of Hotel de Mafigos loved my idea because it's all about traditional. My family lives in this house for the last 2.5 centuries. So it's very traditional what we cook and what we teach to our students. And we started the cooking school almost 22 years ago. We started and there was no, I had no money to buy a computer. I had no money for nothing. Just I had a web host in England and I started to host a web page, a page of Mama Agra. And we started to have the first students from America and then they talk to their friends and friends to their friends. So it was like a word of mouth. And few years after, Bravo TV arrived, and then we started to have also some stars of all of like Pierce Brosnan, Celia Ward, Kurt Werner, or Mark Ruffalo. But the family rescued everything. We were able, thanks to my mom cooking, to fix the garden, to fix the property. We were able to rescue the property. And today, we still do that. I mean, it's me, it's my mom cooking. Mom is 78 years old now. It's my husband cooking. And he actually, my husband Gennaro is a sommelier, he's a chef, he's an olive oil taster and a cheese taster. So we all work together because, you know, Italian love family. And my family works very hard to preserve what we have. You know, we have a lot of garden and we work very hard to protect and to keep our garden. We have a lemon grove. And a few years ago, we almost had to cut the lemon grove. It's too expensive to keep a lemon grove. But me and my husband, Gennaro, we said we can't cut the lemons. It's part of our family. It's like the family, the house, the garden, the lemon trees are so old. And so we decided to turn the lemon in a business. So now we make the limoncello. And thanks to the limoncello sales, we protect our lemon grove. And this is only one of the ideas. We have the olives in the mountain. We make our extra virgin olive oil. But we work very hard. But as a family.
We talk about how we use our values to engage with our work. And I'm hearing this from you. I'm hearing contribution. I'm hearing love. I'm hearing family.
Yeah. You know, it's very important to keep together. Family is what we have. It's what we keep together. It's what give us the family, the energy. When you're, you know, it's everything. See, my mom is 78 years old, okay? And not always she has the energy to do many things. But she keeps going. She keeps going because she knows that also doing the cooking class, we can pay for the money for the kids to go to school. We can have, you know, just simply a car to go drive them around. She loves what she does. My mom loves to cook badly, tremendously. But she also knows that she must do for the family. And my husband is the same. Family is really something very important. And we cook because we love what we do. For us, cooking is a way to show people how do we love them. Okay, cooking is not just the pots and pans and put ingredients inside. But for the Italian culture, for the family, when you have a friend, when you have people coming, you cook. And not only one dish, you cook 10 dishes. The more the better. But because the more you cook, the more you show them how much you love them. See, we don't know another way to socialize. We don't know another way to express besides hugging, kissing, talking a lot like me, like a chatterbox. We can show what we are, what we feel is through the food. So it's cooking, but it's cooking with love that we really try to transfer to the cooking class. And I think sometimes we get through that.
Well, you know, one of the things in my experience here that makes the food taste so good, in addition to the love, are the ingredients. Yeah. Tell us a little bit more about these special ingredients and why they're special.
We have two huge farms. And I start from far because I have to tell you why it's so important for me products. We have two big farms. And like I say, the cooking class is the cherry on the cake. is the final step. But before we get to that, we work extremely hard in the garden. We produce all our vegetables. We jar about 3,000 jar of tomatoes. In August, we close normally for a month because we produce these tomato jars. And we make them in August because it's when the tomatoes are naturally ripe. But the heat is unbearable. It's 41 degrees in shade. People think, oh, this family is crazy. They jar when the heat is unbearable. But the tomatoes are ripe only in August. And I have to do them when they're ripe, when they're sweet. I'm not going to add any sugar in the jars. That's what I share with the kids, with the students when we do the cooking class, to buy the right tomatoes. Of course, we keep our products all over the world, but I'm not here to sell my products. I'm here to explain what to do, how to buy. Now, this is an example about the tomatoes, but we make our own extra virgin olive oil. We have 100 olive trees in the mountain. We hand harvest, cold press, we first press. My husband is an olive oil taster. We analyze the oil. See, this is the important part. My husband is a sommelier. We make the wine. No sulfite, no preserves inside. So the tomatoes also that we produce, the vegetable that we produce, we absolutely use no chemical. We don't use pesticide. It's 100% organic. And to make that, it's difficult. See, we don't do cooking class every day. And this is another reason why people think that we are stupid family, you know, or we are funny or we are crazy family. We only do 4 days cooking class, and we have a huge waiting list, but we can only welcome number of people a day because the other days we have to work in the farm. I don't feel honest if I don't put on their plates the right food, the organic food. I always think that I will always do to the other people what I will do to myself. I will never eat or give them bad meat or bad tomatoes or anything that is bad and it's not produced from us. And to do that is a huge job. We never stop. We are very tired. Not tired, oh my God, I'm very tired. No, we are tired because we work in the farm and then we make the wine and then we make the olive oil and then we jar the tomatoes and then we make the dry tomatoes in the sun. But with a logical, with the idea of doing healthy, organic food. And my mission is also to share that with the students. My family went also through cancer. I know I've been days and days and days in hospital where the people has chemotherapy, where people, you know, lose their hair. And I went through everything possible about natural eating. But then, you know, natural eating is what I do. It's about extra virgin olive oil. It's about good cherry tomatoes, rich of lycopene. That's why we, even more today after these, we are extremely, you know, I can shout this, extremely careful about what we put in our jars, because I know that the tomatoes contain lycopene, which is good for cancer. I know that the extra virgin olive oil from food it contains a lot of antioxidant. Oncologists today said, use a lot of extra virgin olive oil, regenerate your cells. Now, as an oncologist, as a cancer person had a cancer, but in general, you know, good, healthy food is what keeps us healthy. So we will never use any pesticide in our food. Today, even more, already we were organic 100%, but today my mission is also to take care of the people. I have people that had cancer here and they survived. I had cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer, colon cancer here. And I know their feeling. I know what they went through. I know what is good for them. And I keep going on extra virgin olive oil. What is good? What is bad? And this is also the reason why I'm so strong in what I say during the cooking class. I know what I mean, not only in buying food, but the healthy food for people that has to buy, and for me that produce the food, I have to produce in the right way. So this is my mission. My mission is not only to put food on the table, but put healthy food and to explain to people how to use it, but also how to buy it. Mission is also to teach people to stop buying products out of the season. We have a season for everything. In season, we can control the quality. Out of season, where is food coming from? How do they grow this food? Are they using healthy method? You know, we think sometimes to be vegetarian can be, you know, good. And it is good. But where is this food coming? Are the vegetables healthy? This is also something that we have to take care of. The chicken, you know, we serve chicken. We have our free-range chicken. We raise them without hormones, without antibiotics. So long story short, what I mean is that we have to put the passion and the love in what we put in our, you know, in the way that we cook, but it was also what we put in the pan that is very important. The result for all of us of very healthy food, very quality food, and in everywhere in the world, there are people that do a great job. They put no pesticide, they grow their food in a very good way. So you have to buy those food. You have to maybe not the quantity, but the quality. In everything, in the extra virgin olive oil, in the tomato jars, in the vegetable, in the meat, in the fish, in everything. And then cook that with the right passion, the right technique, like Mama Agatha, you know, teaches in the cookbook. Okay, but it's everything together. It's a whole aspect of putting something, you know, cooking that gives you the perfect result. This is my mission, one of my big missions.
Well, I'm really glad we're having this conversation, because what I'm hearing is the importance, the critical importance of eating fresh, healthy, nourishing food.
I traveled. I've been everywhere, well, a lot of places in the world, in Europe, but everywhere I was, if it wasn't not in my garden, the first thing I do, I hunt. What is around me? Who is around me? Who sells the fish? Who sells the fish, the chicken, the meat, the vegetable? And I met the most amazing people. In Ireland, I met a lady from Holland, and they were growing vegetable in Ireland. You know, but I was hunting. I was asking around, who sells the vegetable? Who's this lady? Who does this? Who does that? Who raised the animal? Who they raise? I mean, I talk a lot. And not only when I have to explain things, but also when I have to buy things. If I'm not at home and I don't know where I am, who is producing my vegetable, then I chat like a crazy. You know, I'll ask every single person, and I also become friend with them, because they will tell me how they grow the food, if they use pesticide or not. They tell me what they do. And most of the time, beautiful people working very hard, as much as we do.
Well, speaking of working hard, let's dial it back for just a minute and tell our listeners a little bit more about your business. You've talked about the farm, you've talked about the cooking school. Mm-hmm. Tell us about TV and the cookbook and all products and all the things you're doing.
It's been a consequence. Okay, I started 22 years ago the cooking school because I had to find a way to rescue the family, and my guardian angel, my grandma, you know, helped me, and God helped me to say, okay, you know, you have your mom, your happy hands, use them. And so slowly, slowly, word of mouth, through her passion for cooking, her simple way of cooking, our cooking school became quite popular. And this is, but popular because we just welcome every day the person in the same day as the first. And every day is a special day and special people to share it. So what happened? That the word of mouth of these people feeling at home became more and more popular. And one day I said, Bravo TV arrived and they filmed a show called First Class All the Way. And we went on air, and this was quite a big hit for Mama Agatha. We had a lot of people after that. We started to welcome a lot of stars of Hollywood, like Pierce Brosnan a few years ago, and then Mark Ruffalo, and then we had Cilla Ward and Kurt Warner, and just recently we had Andrew Zimmern, which I'm really a big fan, and many other stars of Hollywood, and I feel bad if I don't mention them all, but also famous football like Jalen Rose and, you know, Justin Tucker. I don't want to forget anybody, but a lot of them were here as part of the group, as part of the class, because they're human beings like anybody of us. And they enjoy the day with our students really tremendously, like Mark Ruffalo. Then about 10 years ago, I thought, gosh, mom is getting old. And when I ask her for a recipe, she says, okay, Chiara, a pinch of this, a pinch of that, a pinch of that. And I thought, if I don't find an excuse to, I will lose these recipes. And 100% of the recipes that now are in Mama Agatha cookbook are Mama Agatha recipes. They're not copied from anywhere. And believe me, there were people out of Mama Agatha hoping that something will get out of this hidden treasure. You know, what is mama doing there? What is she cooking? And we're cooking extremely simple food. So I thought, okay, I need to find an excuse. Let me write a book. Mom will be very honest because she always says, don't lie. You know, tell people what are you doing. And also we are sharing a lot of our secrets. And so I started to work, and it took me 4.5 years to write the book. For a simple reason, I measured each of my mother's hands. Every pinch, every hand, everything. And only then I was able to make Mama Agata cookbook. And then I found the name to the book, which is Simple and Genuine, because in two words express our philosophy, who we are. We're extremely simple people, and we cook in a very genuine way with genuine food. And these are all the recipe collecting in Mama Agata cookbook. But it took me 4.5 years of writing everything. And then I thought, okay, I have now the recipe written down. I will not lose them anywhere anymore. I'm happy. And then I said, okay, let's do the book. And it came out quite a nice book because, again, passion. You know, I wanted to make really something that people could read, could understand. And it's a lot of pictures, visual, and description. And we won the award as best cookbook in the world. First book, first award. I mean, I will never swear God. I will never think my book will be compared to Jamie Oliver cookbook or to any other stars of Hollywood, because I'm a little woman in a little village, in a little place in Ravello, far away from big city, big man, big chef. So when they called me from France saying, Mrs. Lima, your book is in competition with Jamie Oliver for first cookbook in the world because your book is so easy to read, the recipe are easy to reproduce, the award is Best Easy Recipe, and we won the prize. That was like win the lottery.
Oh, bravo. Well, tell our listeners where they can get it.
Yeah, it was just that.
Well, where can they get it?
Well, they can either go just through Mama Agata website, and we sign every copy. You know, they just go on my website.
Give us the website.
www.mamaagata.com. Okay.
MAMMAAGATA.
Yeah.
.com.
Yeah, thank you. I'm very, you know, I should do that better. You know, I'm promoting myself. I'm not doing that really well.
But, okay, but you're also on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. Kids are teaching me about Instagram. I love visual. I love to picture. I would love to post pictures. And the cookbook is available on Mama Agata website and also on Amazon. The last year that I put it on Amazon. But even if the book is on Amazon, I receive the order, I sign the book, and I ship the book. Okay, so Amazon just is my, you know, window.
All right, this is a shameless plug for Christmas gifts.
So yeah, oh, thank you.
All of my listeners, I have this on my shelf, and I highly recommend the lemon cake.
Oh, yeah, the lemon cake is quite one of the heat of the cookbook.
Well, as we round out our conversation, tell us quickly the story about the lemon cake.
Mama Agata was 13 years old when she started to bake the lemon cake, and she used to work with this very, very rich American lady, Mary Jane Stewart Kinnickel, and her parents owned a lot of magazine. And so every time there was an actor, an actress, a famous political like Jacqueline Kennedy, they stayed in the villa where my mother was cooking. And Humphrey Bogart was there, and she was cooking, well, she was baking this lemon cake. And Humphrey Bogart, one day, she was only 13 years old, she said, Baby Agata, because Mama was only 13 years old, Baby Agata, I don't understand how you do that. Your food is really good. It's really gorgeous. I love it. But your lemon cake is something really out of this world. And because Humphrey Bogart at that time was doing a film in Ravello, there was a lot of team in the villa, so a lot of them were eating the cake. And Mama Agata was baking for him 3 times a day the lemon cake, as much as Humphrey Bogart has to have his cake there available, you know. So starting from there, at age of 13, my mom now is 78 years old. The lemon cake is always in this house. And every family, every person, every student, every stars of Hollywood that have been here. The last one, I mean, we had is Andrew Zimmern, and we were on his show on Travel Channel. He raves about the lemon cake. Nothing really crazy, simple, genuine. Just very simple ingredient, 00 flour, the right baking powder, lemon, and you will have the most unbelievable lemon cake. And it's a hit. Everybody remembers about this lemon cake. And it's becoming like a sort of a family thing. You have to make the lemon cake. You go to Mamma Agra, you taste it, and you go home, you learn to make the lemon cake. And then becomes a moment with their family, and the family with their family. You know, I get this is becoming like a sort of a chain lemon cake. Everybody bakes the lemon cake and becomes a family reunion, family moment. So that makes me happy because it means we've done something. We shared something. We passed something. This is my mission. It's not just, and believe me, it's the truth. It's not just for the money. You know, it's just for the joy of sharing, for the joy of giving, for the joy of pass not only the technique in cooking, but the feeling. That's what I work very hard during the day, to watch the people in the eyes and to try to penetrate their soul through the eyes.
Well, I don't think that we could have had a more beautiful story about how work is about much more than money.
Oh, thank you.
Kiara, thank you so much.
Thank you, Dawn, for giving me the opportunity to share this and to pass my feeling. Oh, be careful. I get sentimental.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to you all.
This is What Does It Profit? Links to resources related to the issues we've discussed in this episode are in the show notes, including links to Chiara's cookbook and sumptuous food items. I invite you to join our listener referral program and check out our list of friends on our website, whatdoesitprofitpodcast.com. I also encourage you, as I did last week, to check out a really interesting new podcast called Uncertain Things. It was started this year by two journalist friends and roommates, Adam and Vanessa, as a way of finding meaning in these crazy times. They have free-flowing, far-ranging, and occasionally irreverent conversations with really smart people, historians, economists, moral philosophers, and even artists. And in January, they'll be talking with me. On behalf of all of us at What Does It Profit, I thank you for getting to know us this season. We thank you for the downloads, the ratings, and the reviews. We also thank you for getting to know us on social media at WDIP Podcast. Stay tuned for our season 2 trailer and a couple of bonus features between now and episode 1 of our next season that will be available on Wednesday, January 20th, 2021. A date not lost on us when we in the United States welcome into office our new president. Whatever your politics, whatever your view of the world and of business, you are always welcome here at What Does It Profit? Thanks for listening. Talk to you soon. What Does It Profit podcast is written and hosted by me, Dr. Dawn Carpenter. The show is produced by Jordan Gaspour. Executive producers are Nate Toby and Barbara Landis. Special thanks to our talented interns, Nate, Niels, Hannah, and Andrew, and our friends at Georgetown University's McDonough School of Business, Kalmanovitz Initiative for Labor and the Working Poor, Business for Impact, the Beck Center for Social Impact and Innovation, the DC Chapter of Conscious Capitalism, and Switchboard Studios. Before I let you go, let me remind you to never stop asking yourself, what does it profit?